Hello and welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA, which we're doing on Thursday morning this week. I'm in Oklahoma City, so I'm a little bit on the road, so we're doing a little earlier than normal. Hopefully the all hell doesn't break loose in the NBA before this post, but now it's jinxed. Joining us from Dallas, Texas, not far from me, really, it's Ban McMahon.
Yeah, I mean, if you'd give me some heads up, I'd have come up there and give you the grand tour of Bricktown.
No, you wouldn't have. It would not have been worth your time. Joining us from Boston, Massachusetts, is Tim Bontemps.
Hello, guys.
So I do need
to give a howdy, partners, just to kind of set the mood here, because you've got hands on temples, so I want to lift your spirits with a good old howdy.
My spirits
partners
are fine. My spirits are fine, but by the time this comes out, it'll be a couple of days ago, so it won't be relevant. But I'm just going to say real quick that Wednesday night I went to this Oklahoma City Thunder Denver Nuggets game. And in this game, there were 3,000 people in the building, okay? Obviously not a high tension game. At the end of the game, Michael Malone, the Nuggets head coach, wanted to win. So it was a 5-point game with 8 minutes to play, and he put his starters back in, including the MVP of the league, Nikola Jokic, who was having a good game. He always has a good game. And the Thunder had already kind of, you know, sat whatever front line that they have. And so they decided to play most of their backup guys. But most importantly, they decided to put the ball in Josh Giddey, their number 6 overall pick's hands for the last 6 or 7 minutes of the game against Denver's in complete front line to play. Now, the point I'm telling you about this story is that too much in the NBA, in my opinion, many people will disagree. We don't talk about the game, and we're guilty of that on this podcast because sometimes the game isn't that interesting, and it's a flaw of this time. McMahon's laughing at me, but you know, the game ultimately is what this all is about, and we lose sight of the game too much, and the game is why we're here. And
so, currently talking about a preseason game that we don't know the story to, so let's get to the preseason game story.
That's right. So down the stretch of this game, there's this really great little drama happening. I know nobody's paying attention. Nobody cares. But if you actually watch the game, it's really fun to watch because these Nuggets guys were trying to win. And here's this 19-year-old rookie who's trying to lead it against it. And guess what? Giddey did it. Giddey was great. He made like 4 or 5 plays down the stretch, completely outmaneuvered the Nuggets. Thunder win the game with... And by the way, he was out there with their other first-round pick, Trey Mann. Both of them looked really good. A very good night for the Thunder franchise. Nobody will remember it, but I had so much fun.
The peak of their season. It's already happened.
It might. You know what? There's not going to be many nights like that there. And
their season's about Josh Giddey in many ways. So if Josh Giddey is good for them, they'll be very good.
And I'm just saying, because I've now got to talk about it. The point is, I've now got to talk about Kyrie Irving. And at the heart of this, when I started in this job, to talk about moments like I saw with Josh Giddey, this 19-year-old kid figuring out a way to win a game from Australia, you know, just in this cool little thing, which could be a glimpse into the future.
I started in this job because I started out as a business major and realized I was way too dumb for that. But go on.
You know, Bontemps and I have talked about having a word of the week with you, McMahon, since you learned what opaque meant 2 weeks ago. Bontemps will teach you a word a week.
I'm very clear about opaque.
Already right on the, already using it in a sentence. Very good. So, but we can't talk about, you know, stuff like, you know, rookie development. We have to talk about this situation in Brooklyn because this is,
what do we have to, like, what else is there to say? Kyrie, like, he decided that he was not going to get in line. He knew the consequences. The Nets made a business decision. They didn't want the drama. They didn't want the distractions. They didn't want the in and out and, you know, lack of continuity. Kyrie, you know, gave his logic, which amounts to a spewing absolute nonsense, and analyzing absolute nonsense is pointless. So,
well, here's the question about the Nets. Here's the question about the Nets. Let's say this is their team now for the season. What is the outcome?
I mean, I think they're still the favorites in the Eastern Conference. They still have two of the top 10 players in the league, and they've got pretty damn good depth. Patty Mills, obviously, we thought that was a good signing. Now it's a really critical signing. Bruce Brown proved himself as a really quality complement to superstars. Blake Griffin, as a complimentary player, looked really good last year. LaMarcus Aldridge is back for better or worse. Nick Claxton, Joe Harris. I mean, they've still got I still think they're the favorites in the East and in the NBA.
Well, and that sort of, to me, sums up the situation that we're talking about, right? Where for as talented a player as Kyrie is, he's third best player on their team by a fairly significant amount. And the other two guys on the team are better than him at just about everything except for dribbling. So, if there's any team that could absorb the loss of a guy like this, it is the Nets. And I still think this probably comes down to, if Kevin Durant is healthy and if James Harden is healthy, you're going to like their chances against, just about anybody in the league in the playoffs. So, I think this is the only decision they could realistically make. They couldn't go through the season with this guy playing half the games and trying to, practice every day and having all of the media circus that would be around that and right. All the attention that would take away from their team. They've got a really good team. I think this is the only path they could take. And now we'll get to watch them play. And I think you even saw in the way that Steve Nash and James Harden talked about it yesterday for us on Wednesday. It's just like, hey, this is in the rearview mirror now. If he gets a shot and comes back, great. If not, James Harden even said, I'm trying to win a championship, right? James Harden, Kevin Durant has titles. Kyrie has a title. James Harden doesn't have a championship. That's clearly that's the one thing left on his resume to do. So I think for those guys coming into the season, trying to, be all focused in the same direction and having a plan of attack going forward, I think this is the only thing the Nets could do. And I'm with you, McMahon. I think there's every reason for the Nets to think that they've got a real shot. And frankly, I think in a lot of ways they could be better, because if you just have the ball in Harden and Durant's hands down the stretch and you have another defensive player out on the court, that limits what is already a pretty significant, or it helps kind of diminish what was the pretty significant weakness for that team, which is their overall defense.
Yeah, Kyrie's biggest value to the Nets after the Harden trade was, if one of those guys goes down, you're still going to have two all-NBA caliber scorers and creators. Again, if they're healthy, I'll say this, though. James Harden, and he's, I'm sure, well aware of this. I feel like Harden and Russell Westbrook are the two guys in the league that have the most pressure on them going into this season. It is a championship or bust situation for both of them. The window is shrinking. They've put themselves in hand-picked situations. Harden's clearly the best player in the league who hadn't won a championship. With all due respect to the Jokic's and Embiid's, you look at his body of work over the last, whatever it is, sure, 12 or 13 years. And then, Russ is one of the most accomplished guys without a ring. So they're, and I think that's, obviously Harden and KD were part of these conversations. It basically came down to, look, this Kyrie circus, having him half the time, not able to play home games, which, might have continued into the playoffs, probably would have. Like, it's just not worth it. And so they moved on. And honestly, he did his little IG thing. Cool. Whatever. I'm ready to move on. I'm tired of talking about Kyrie Irving. It's not fun.
Guess who was killing it in the weight room, in the visiting team weight room last night post-game in Oklahoma City?
Jokic.
He was in there for at least an hour. I don't know. Maybe not enough. 45
Michael
minutes.
Michael Porter Jr.?
No. Jokic. You got it.
Oh, Jokic. Yeah. No, I told you. He – this was a couple of years ago, In Dallas, they've got a little shoebox of a visitor's locker room. And so, if you're going to do any kind of post-game workout, it has to be in that hallway. And
it's
I remember,
a big, wide hallway, yeah, and a real little teeny locker room.
Exactly. And so I remember I went down – I don't remember exactly the – oh, no, this was the game where he got the game-winning bucket. It went down to the wire, and he posted up, got the game-winning bucket. He was great down the stretch. I think pretty early in the season, and I went down there, and just the way I was positioned in the Michael Malone post-game scrum, I could see his workout. And dude, it was one of the most intense post-game workouts I'd seen. I remember there was a guy who was hitting him with like one of those padded sticks while he was doing all kinds of like kettlebell type of stuff. And, you know, I mean, and I was remember thinking, you know, for a guy who the rap on him is, he's not in very good shape. Like he's working. And clearly, you know, we've seen that pay off, especially last year when he was the clear cut MVP, even if Embiid would have stayed healthy, no matter what Wendy says.
Well, you know, the funny thing is that some of the indications out of the Nuggets this year is that they may not ride him as hard, and they may, I don't know if they're going to give him time off. They may give him some games off, and they may reduce his minutes to try to save him for the long haul. So I guess he'll be invalidated as the MVP, right? Because, you know, he may take a few games off. But the thing is, you know, we all, you know, speaking of MVP and narratives, you know, Durant now has an incredible, you know, there could be 15 twists and turns, but Durant now has a preseason narrative.
Well, you know? And you know what? So does James Harden. And, right. And, you know, when we did our little 5-on-5 disruptors, James Harden's not one of the 8 favorites in terms of Vegas odds for MVP. And look, last year he got hurt. You know, I've talked about his little, I think his personal trainer experience in Atlanta and Vegas didn't fully prepare him for the season. This year he was much more serious about it, but going into last year, 5 of the previous 6 seasons, he'd been a top 3 finisher in MVP voting. And his performance when he's on the floor has not dropped off. So especially if there's going to be some, you know, maintenance with Durant, and Harden's the guy who's playing every night. If I think, you know, to dismiss Harden as an MVP favorite is ill-advised.
Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seat Rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP, H-O-O-P. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. Winning is an everyday mindset, and on the Ways to Win podcast, coaches Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. Each week, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve your off-court problems. Whether it's trouble at home or a workplace dilemma, the coaches will help you find a winning formula for success. And you'll hear from prominent athletes, business leaders, and celebrities who reveal insights that made them into the leaders they are today. Like President Obama, who breaks down his bracket and talks about how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism. Listen to Ways to Win wherever you get your podcasts.
Agreed. I think, you know, look, he has all the motivation this year, right? I mean, this is on him. He's talked about, you know, he's got a potential either contract extension coming up, or if he waits till the summer, he can make a ton of money. Like there's every reason for him to come back after last year with the way it started and ended and get back to being, you know, James Harden, top 5 player in the league. And
I'll say this. I do believe that Harden is not worried about the money, because I think even if he misses a bunch of games, he's getting
paid.
Well,
he'll certainly get paid. I'm just saying, like, between the championship expectations and trying to reset his reputation after the way last year started and ended and everything else, like, it's he has everything to play for, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you could say this is the biggest season of his career in many ways. So, you know, we'll see how he does with it. But I think he certainly has a shot at MVP, especially if Durant misses time, which, you know, of the two of those guys, I think you're going to bet on Harden playing a lot more games just based off of the way the past years of Durant have gone.
Yeah, he's been a workhorse throughout his career until last season. And, you know, the way it will work is, you know, he'll be the primary ball handler. There won't be any of that duplication, although they did play really well together last year. Their fast chemistry in sharing the ball was one thing to be excited about if you were a Nets fan, is that they really did, for the most part, not have the kind of period that I thought they would have.
And it was a tiny little sample size because of all the injuries, both regular season and playoffs. But when those three were on the floor together, I mean, the numbers were absolutely ridiculous. But honestly, you put Durant and Harden on the floor together, like, they're going to be probably the best offense in the NBA.
Yes, but I will say that it's been my experience that to win a championship, you need as you think you've got enough, you always need more. You know, unless you're the Warriors, you know, when you had, you know, two MVPs in your prime and, you know, second team all NBA guy or whatever.
Well, no. The Warriors thought they had enough during a 73 win season, and then they went out and got more. They had championship in the, you know, in their pocket, but they went out and got more to get two more titles.
Those 2 years that they won with Durant, they had enough. They had enough. But maybe the Nets will have enough regardless of Kyrie.
I will say this. I would bet that there's been some rubbing together of hands in the Rockets front office over the recent days, because one possible fallout of all this Kyrie drama is that, you know, wow, let's see how long the Nets are together. They got the KD extension done. Harden has made it very clear, like, I'm just going to hold off and play this out. You know, he can opt out after this year. And then I just cannot imagine that the Kyrie Nets relationship is salvaged. So,
well, anything can happen, but you know, if you want to take, like, you guys all talk to league executives are highly cynical and they look way out in the future. Mm-hmm. And so when you talk to people, you hear things that are the opposite of what so often we talk about in here, which is in the moment. And, you know, you talk to people about this, they're like, oh, this actually worked out perfect for Brooklyn because Kyrie won't play for 3 or 4 months and then it'll get resolved one way or another, whether it's a change to the law or he'll get vaccinated or something will happen and he'll come in and he won't have the wear and tear on him and he'll, you know, feel like playing basketball. And when they really, really need him, because the season is long, he'll come in and everything will be good and they'll be perfect. This will end up, you know, I talked to some people like this will work out fine. Everybody's up in their feelings right now, an egg on their face. It's a political issue. So that's the thing, but you know, 3-4 months from now won't be a deal. And then you talk to other people who are like, Kyrie Irving has done everything that the Nets could have ever dreamed of. He delivered them Kevin Durant. Durant wouldn't have come there without him. I've said on this pod before, in 19 years covering the NBA, one of the more baffling things I've ever seen is that Kyrie convinced Kevin to get married before even free agency, like 6 months, whatever, 6 months before free agency, whenever that All-Star game was, 5 months before free agency. But there are people who have said to me, Kyrie is Mr. Net, got Durant. Durant got him Harden and Durant extended. And I even have executives going, can you believe that Durant did this extension? He didn't even get a player option. And last year, that extension, I mean, you know, Durant's so in on this, it's amazing. And then, you know, they say, they were going to have to give Kyrie, you know, they were going to have to, you know, give Harden an extension too. And that meant they were going to have to give Kyrie an extension. And, you know, you don't even want to extend Kyrie because he's not focused on the game. And, you know, he's got injury problems and who knows where he'll be in 3 years, much less 3 months. And this all works out for them. Yeah, they may lose this player and not have him for that long, but, you know, they may not want to, you know, in 2 years, they might say, oh my God, can you imagine if they gave Kyrie a $180 million extension? I mean, I don't know if any of that's going to come true, but there are people whose lives are dedicated to basketball who are saying those types of things to me, Bontemps. I don't know whether it is just another thing to say in the moment, but I mean, there is a pathway where you could see those things coming true, that Kyrie comes back later and it works, and that Kyrie getting Durant locked down and then fading into oblivion ends up being the formula that leads the Nets to a mini dynasty.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's, you know, at the end of the day, they still got James Harden and Kevin Durant. So it, you know, that's until we know different about Kyrie, as McMahon said at the beginning, they still got a real shot. And, you know, that's the thing that's going to be interesting to see, is what they look like going forward. Cause I think at this point, you just have to assume the guys are going to be there. And, you know, until that changes, that's going to be my operating assumption.
All right. So I just checked my contract. We have to talk about Ben Simmons real quick. I don't know if we're going to know about what's happening with Ben.
Can I see the dollar figure on that deal? All those zeros.
I was going to say something, but I'm not. Ben's in health and safety protocols, which implies he's not vaccinated. Was he
watching Kyrie's IG live last night?
I don't know. I mean, you know, the thing about it is that for the NBA, you have to be quote fully vaccinated, which means you have to be, you know, X number of weeks off whatever shot you took, whether it's the one shot or the two shots. So I don't know whether Ben has taken a shot or not. I just know that as of Monday, when he reported, he was not deemed fully vaccinated and therefore had to go through the full 5 days of protocols. He couldn't just take one test and come in. So he's not fully vaccinated. I had an agent this week tell me that there's less than 20 players in the league right now who are unvaccinated.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, how come it feels like there's a lot more?
Because they make a lot of noise and there's a lot of drama surrounding them.
And Michael Porter, some of them are big names. Last night, Michael Porter Jr. last night botched a wide open dunk. He ran into the rim and the heckles coming from the crowd of the light crowd in Oklahoma City regarding his vaccination status did elicit a couple of chuckles from me after that misplay. So he has to go through health and safety protocols, which means that he's not available to do anything until Friday, which and the team is playing in Detroit on Friday.
I mean, it's great for him. It's like, hey, I showed up. I'm not getting fined anymore, but I don't actually have to be with the team. This is awesome.
Right. So the real question is, and I don't even know, like the real question will be, so he's, I mean, I guess in theory he could be cleared on Friday and then come sit with the team on the bench in Detroit. I would be surprised if that happens, but it's possible. And I don't even know if they're going to practice Saturday. So we won't even know like what Ben Simmons is going to do or what he looks like and what he might say until Saturday or Sunday. So,
well, and I think the bigger question about Simmons is this dude going to come in and basically intentionally sabotage the Sixers? Like you saw James Harden last year, in the season opener, basically said, look, I'm going to remind everybody just how damn good I am. Went out and got 44-17 against the Blazers, just to remind people, like, I am that good. And then tanked the rest of the time until he was traded. What's Simmons going to do? Like, he's not going to be locked in. We know that. Is he going to be intentionally, you know, just lazy? And especially for a guy who, you know, so much of his value is on the defensive end, where like if there's a lack of give a damn, you know, that just it doesn't work. And so
multiple people in the league have asked me, I don't know if anyone said this to you, Buntemps. They're like, is he going to go through the layup line in the first game and like grab his back?
Oh, I thought you were going to say pass and get to the rim.
Now that's funny. That's a good line. I'm going to steal that one. but I mean, obviously, way,
I have Troel Embiid recommendations. When Simmons finally walks into the locker room, Embiid has to greet him with Adele lyrics. Hello from the other side. Talking about how many times he called him to say he was sorry. Like, don't, I mean, the best troll in the league has to, like, what are you going to do? It's going to be awkward anyways. You might as well have fun with the situation. So I want Embiid to study up on his Adele lyrics and just serenade Ben Simmons when he walks in the locker room for the first time.
Given she's dating Rich Paul, that's funny on multiple levels.
Oh boy, Buntemps, you really just cut right through it.
Well, I don't know how many of our listeners are
are NBA nerds are well aware of the Adele ties.
No one has quite said that.
And I mean nerds in the most complimentary sense.
Yes.
Well, they're making a joke, a better joke than McMahon just made.
Well, yes.
No
one has quite said this scenario of the layup line, but I've gotten many questions about, is this guy actually going to play or is he going to claim an injury and try to like get around this? And, you know, I mean, again, sort of like the Kyrie situation, this thing is probably going to change by the day and week. And as of now, he's back. And, you know, when I was at the game on Monday, the Nets Sixers game, the expectation from people there was, well, we think and hope he's going to play. And that seems to be where they're at still later in the week. And, you know, till he gets out on the court next Wednesday in New Orleans and then back at home in Philly on Friday against the Nets, you know, just got to wait and see.
Yeah. So if he plays in that game in New Orleans, knowing that the next game is that home game, what happens in that game is going to be very interesting to see if he plays in it at all.
It will be fascinating.
But let me tell you why that game is interesting, because that game was billed, you know, Zion versus Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Zion's not going to be there. And this week, the Pelicans slipped in, and there may be an update, you know, and we're behind all the time anyway, just because of how fast NBA news moves. But I'm sure there's going to be an update between now and when this pod posts about Zion, because it sounds like they're, you know, quote unquote, getting the scans back today, as in Thursday. But this was a very depressing update that David Griffin gave this week that kind of slid under the national radar, because there's so much going on with the two boys in the Atlantic Division. That Zion Williamson isn't running yet. And, last we heard from him, Zion was like, oh, I'm going to play opening night. Well, he isn't running yet. And they said he needed scans this week. I assume that's MRI to on that foot to see, where his healing is. Like, this is another setback. Like, I don't care how they frame it. It's another setback.
Well, here's the thing. Believe not a word coming from the Pelicans until you see Zion back, at least in practice. They're not forthcoming. They're not. And, you know, whatever the reason is to protect Zion, it's what he wants, whatever. The simple fact is this. They were able to keep this under wraps until media day. They misled the media then. Basically, oh, yeah, he'll be back for season opener, no problem. He's not. Who knows how long he's going to miss. Willie Green, he took over a bad situation. This is a roster that's a mess. A franchise player who, you know, says he wants to be there, but, man, sure don't get those vibes. He's not healthy. Who knows what kind of shape he's going to be in. They're getting beat like by 96 points per preseason game. Not
I think
quite
we know what kind of shape he's going to be in.
Yeah, round. What a tough gig for a rookie head coach.
Meanwhile, look at this is the start of their season schedule wise. They're home for the Sixers. Then they're in Chicago. They have a back to back with two games in Minnesota. Then they're home for Atlanta, Sacramento, and the Knicks. And then they go on the road for the Suns, Kings, Warriors, and Mavs. That's their first 10 games. I mean, they could be very quickly, especially without Zion, in a big hole. And with all these teams that they're trying to compete with to be in the play-in in the West and to try to take a step forward, as you talked about, McMahon, to show Zion that they're moving in the right direction as far as being a competitive team in the Western Conference, they start out 2-8, something like that, 3-7. First couple weeks of the season, he's still banged up. There's going to be, you know, alarms going off in New Orleans really fast if that season gets off to a rough start.
How many teams in the West are they better than? Thunder, Rockets, anybody else?
Yeah, I mean, I think probably I would say they're the favorite of that next group of teams to be in the play-in. But
I like Minnesota better.
Yeah, I mean, I would.
Sacramento,
I don't feel
we can argue. Maybe San Antonio, they're better than, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're at the top of that group of teams. I think that's a cluster of teams, and maybe Memphis is in there too. We'll see how the Grizzlies are this year.
Memphis is better than New Orleans.
I think so. I think so too. But Valanciunas was a pretty big piece for them last year, and we'll see where they sit. But either way, I definitely think Memphis is at the top of that group, and I think New Orleans is behind them. But again, if Zion misses the first couple weeks of the season and they get off to a terrible start, like, they're not enough better than those teams that they can maybe recover from a terrible start. So again, there's a lot, as we all have talked about all summer, right? There's been a ton of pressure on that team going back to the summer to get better and be competitive. And I think we all were at best sort of mixed on their summer in terms of what they did at best. And, you know, if they go into the season and Zion's not ready, you know, all of a sudden that pressure on them is only going to get ratcheted up a whole bunch more.
I thought I knew what mixed meant, but I guess I'm not clear on the definition of that word because I'm not mixed at all. I think they had a crap summer.
I just wasn't speaking for everybody. I couldn't remember if everybody was in the exact same frame as me, which is that it was not good. So I definitely didn't think it was good either.
Here's what I know. I just remember that, you know, Zion had a lot of frustration at the way his when he was able to be cleared to play from his rookie year. I mean, mm-hmm. from multiple reports and multiple things we've heard, he is still under his skin. The way the Pelicans handled bringing him back from that injury, when he was definitely out of shape and they were trying to protect him, as far as I could see.
Yeah.
Here we are again. He has said that he wants to play opening night. Now, he said that a couple weeks ago. That's obviously not going to happen.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, but nothing on your roof. So who's ever up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, girl-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
He is clearly, if you've seen him, not in shape. And, you know, he hasn't been able to run for months. So that's not a stunner. Is this going to be an issue again with him? How fast he can come back? Because even when he's not in shape, he obviously can still play. The guy is wild talented. He was not in great shape last year at all, and he was an all-star. And I think I put him on my All-NBA team because he's one of the greatest interior scorers I've seen in my lifetime. He's like Shaquille O'Neal level interior scorer as a guy who's, you know, 6 inches shorter or whatever.
And with ball handling skills.
Incredible ball handling.
I mean, Shaq could handle for a big man, but this guy's you can play him at point.
Right. And so my point is, like, if they put him out there 20 pounds heavier than he was last year, whatever he's got, he would still have great games. And I'm sure he will want to play because he will make a difference for them like that. But they're dealing with a guy with a broken foot. You know, people who break feet sometimes break their feet multiple times. So I just, you know, I'm more looking at, does this begin an issue with returning to the court, just like it was 2 years ago, as he heads into the contract extension zone.
And it's not just about timing of when he returns, but then what's the plan, you know, minutes limits and all that stuff. And, you know, is he on board? And then, you know, if he's in the kind of shape that we expect him to be in, like, is one of the worst defensive teams in the league just, you know, even worse? You know, is he like catching his breath on defense all the time? I don't know, man. My limited Pelicans optimism has been drained.
Yeah, I just think that there continues to be disappointing news about him. And, you know, again, when David Griffin was giving this update, and, you know, for all I know, he'll give another update. I'm sorry. It's not a live show. Again, it was purposefully misty on when he actually hurt himself. You know, Griff said at the beginning of the summer, well, the Pelicans didn't make the playoffs, so their summer started in
May. Yeah, you know, the calendar summer, the NBA summer, what are we talking about
the
here?
Previously he said he said before summer league. Well, Christmas was before summer league, you know? So yeah, like
again, like whatever he says, it's also, it doesn't matter because he does not have credibility.
Right. Also, well, you know, this NBA Lane commercial that they did, which, you know, everybody loves and is really cool and took a lot of planning and logistics. Zion is in that commercial, you know, in theory, breaking a backboard. Of course, they don't actually show him jumping because, you know, he had a broken foot. So, but he does like do something. He's like hopping or something. And I'm like, when did that commercial get shot? Was his foot broken? And if his foot was broken, because he definitely is jumping up and down, not like to dunk.
Oh, they show him landing once. That's all they show. So like he could have jumped 6 inches.
Are you supposed to jump 6 inches when you're recovering from a broken foot?
I'm just saying it's for people who haven't seen it. It's not like he was, you know, bouncing around like a pogo stick. He wandered across the court in a brief shot, and then they showed him landing from seemingly breaking the backboard, which he obviously didn't break in the video.
Might be some special effects there.
I don't know. I just thought and was like, when was that? Because when you break your foot, aren't you supposed to be in a boot?
Well, as McMahon said, this situation falls into the same phylum as the Kyrie and Ben situations, and that the next time I will believe Zion Williamson is playing in an NBA game is when I see him on the court in an NBA game. And
at least practice. Right. And Wendy, like, you know, obviously we all would love Zion to stay healthy, but if you don't think this is like five alarm fire, you mentioned guys who break feet tend to break them again. I mean, we remember when Kevin Durant did it. Guys who are 300 plus pounds who break and just are, there's so much, you know, I'm no scientist, but whatever those fancy words are, like force and stuff, when he jumps and lands. Yes. I mean, dude, like, are you kidding me? Big dudes who break feet and run and jump a lot tend to break them. I mean, I hate to say it, and the medical technology's come a long way, but we can go down the list of big guys whose careers were ended prematurely or were, you know, didn't live up to their potential because of foot problems.
Well,
I
don't know
scary.
What to make of the online investigators, because, you know, we're in an era where there can be disinformation very easily. But, you know, like last night, there were people who were zooming in on the notes that were on Kyrie's desk as he was giving his IG live. And looking upside down and trying to decipher what he said. But, you know, there are people who have, you know, there was paparazzi videos and stuff this summer of Zion out in Los Angeles, you know, living his life on the town. And, you know, I don't know. I'm not an orthopedist. I don't know. Maybe you don't need to have your foot in a cast or a boot if you've got a broken foot, but there was no photos of him with a broken foot. So again, I say, when did he have this injury? When did he have surgery? You know, fine. You don't want to tell us for HIPAA or whatever, fine. But you know, it's only the entire franchise, so no big deal.
Can I try to end the pod on a positive note in the final few minutes?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm in a bad mood, but I am. No, I want to say something.
What are you saying about breakdown?
About something that made me smile last night.
The pink parrot.
The Knicks are undefeated in the preseason. They've only played 3 games. The Lakers have played like 11, but the Knicks are defeated in the preseason, and you know, Tibbs went hard. They played the Pistons on Wednesday night. Tibbs went hard, played like Julius Randle, like 35 minutes and stuff like that. And after the game, Tibbs had an amazing quote. He got asked about how he is so serious about the preseason, as you'd expect. And he totally channeled Michael Jordan in The Last Dance. Remember the key moment in The Last Dance where Jordan's like, you know, that's on you if you don't want it, because you know you don't win. That's on you. And then he's like tearing up and he goes, break. You know, that's my way. So Tibbs last night says, my way isn't for everyone. My way is for me. Everything matters to me. And it just made me laugh. Because it was like, that's Tibbs. in a nutshell, that's Tibbs. And I just, it reminded me of The Last Dance and, the Knicks are undefeated. And I'm going to tell you
also why the Knicks were the fourth seed in the East last year
and got knocked out in the first round.
I was going to say hell of a preseason coach, not so much of a postseason, but you know,
I know
part of the reason his teams have failed in the postseason is because they overachieve in the regular season. And it's because he maniacally has them ready to go every single night.
Yeah. I don't know that playing Julius Randle 35 minutes in the
preseason. 33 minutes. I want to correct the record. I don't want to be wrong. 33.
I don't know if that's necessary. I don't know if it's wise. I mean, I guess his workload won't be as heavy as last year, but I don't know, man.
How old is Taj Gibson? What do you think?
What's his jersey number? I think he changes it every year for his age.
He's in his late 30s.
He's 36. He's 36. He played 31 minutes in October and he had 21-9. You can always count on Tibbs being Tibbs. And in this world where, you know, we have to deal with so much ridiculousness, there is a comfort and that, you know, that Tibbs is going to be Tibbs.
I mean, there's some ridiculousness that comes along with that. It's just a
different I know, kind. But
cue
but
the,
it's predictable.
Cue the Friedel laugh.
Yes.
It's predictable.
Cue up the laugh track.
Ridiculousness. And, and I just, that made me smile. What were you going to say, Buntemps?
I just was going to say, as a way to end the pod on a more uplifting note than talking about all these guys who are injured or may play or may not play, by the next time we do this podcast, thank God, there will be actual NBA regular season games that have been played. So I'm curious, what are we interested to see over the first couple of days of next week before we circle back on the pod from these regular season games?
Man, Buntemps, the bright light.
Listen, man, I'm tired. I've been up in the Northeast here with these never ending stories with sure. Ben Simmons and Kyrie Irving, and I cannot wait for actual basketball games to talk about. So I am excited for that. So what are we watching for the first couple days of regular season?
I'm excited for my first game of the season. It's a little Hawks Mavs delight.
Next Thursday night. It's going to be a great game.
Yeah, next Thursday night in Atlanta. You know, the Hawks have gone from being kind of a fun league pass special to one of the spotlight teams in the league, obviously coming off an East Finals run. You know, keeping Collins, there was so much speculation about that last year. Extending the Capella. Trae Young has gone from nobody thought he could win in the league to he's a bona fide superstar. And look, I'm trying not to react too much to preseason, but I'm just going to say this. These last couple games, Porzingis has looked good. Now, he's healthy and happy. Two things he never was last season, and two things that, you know, we'll see how long both of those last. But, you know, I'm at least intrigued by the potential of a healthy, happy Porzingis as a sidekick to Luka.
Going to be fascinating to see. I was watching a little bit last night and he had a nice steal and fast break, got fouled on an attempt to lay the ball in, but he moved faster than I'd seen him move all last year. He looked great. So, you know, hopefully
he's no longer a 7'3" traffic cone on defense, which he was all last season.
Yes.
You think that Atlanta and Milwaukee, I mean, we are so far from when it really matters, but don't you think Atlanta and Milwaukee are kind of sitting back going, oh, boy, problems in Philly and Brooklyn. Hate to see it.
And in Miami too. I'm sure they're not too upset either. No question about it. I mean, for me, the two things I'm interested in for next week, the Warriors open with the Lakers opening night. Really excited to see what those two teams look like. Then they play the Clippers on Thursday. We've talked a lot about this early season Warriors team. How are they going to make it through without Klay? How much are they going to play Draymond at center? I'm just really curious to watch them play, and I'll be at Knicks Celtics on opening night at MSG. We just got done talking about Tibbs. Al Horford probably isn't playing because he has COVID. We'll see if Jaylen Brown is playing. Mm-hmm. He might be done with COVID by then. But Kemba Walker playing against his old team at Madison Square Garden. Very curious to see what the Knicks look like and what this new look Celtics team under Ime Udoka looks like. So a lot of really good games next week, but I'll be at that one. That'll be my first one. And I'm excited to see that one.
Everything counts. Or nothing counts. That's my Tibbs impression.
By the way, Nets Bucks is a delicious opener for
that's what I was
a lot of reasons.
I was saving that one for my guy Brian. I figured he would come in with that at the end. That will be good.
Ring night in Milwaukee. And as somebody who covered LeBron daily for a long time, who covered LeBron losing six finals, the league loves to bring when they got the chance to bring LeBron in on ring night. It wouldn't work if like he was playing Cleveland and the Lakers won the title or whatever. But I witnessed at least three or four ring nights where I was covering the Cavs or Heat in opening night. Mm-hmm. And they made LeBron, you know, and so, you know, granted, you know, Durant's an NBA champion and all that stuff, but it's a tweak.
Well,
to have to sit there and watch the team that beat you get their ring.
Especially because that was their biggest challenge, right? I mean, for, you know, no offense to Phoenix or Atlanta, but that was, I mean, obviously they were closest to losing in the playoffs in that game seven.
Also, the James Harden Giannis kind of, you know, passive beef. And which went you know, back to, you know, Giannis's first MVP season.
That's
and
right.
The shade being thrown both ways, all the way up to Giannis, you know, got the trophies in his hand and said, hey, it would have been easy. It's easy to join super team. That would have been easy.
Right.
We did it the way. So, you know,
If we could get a healthy Nets Bucks conference finals, sign me up for that.
I highly doubt that Harden and KD will be out on the court during the ring ceremony, but it is, you know, they will be highly motivated for sure.
Seems like a safe bet.
And plus, I'm sure they'll be happy just to, you know, be playing basketball and not have a circus to deal with.
All right. Thank you. We got to go. Thank you. Listen to Hoop Collective Podcast. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. We'll be back to you early next week. These gents won't be back till later, but those of us who work full time on this podcast,
we'll
be back to you before the start of the season. Enjoy your weekend. Take care.
It's his podcast to cry if he wants to. Adios, amigos.
I'm crying a lot.
See you, boys.